this morning we are starting our new series, and probably, I think, the most important topic we could ever talk about, and that is prayer. And also fasting, we'll be talking about that this month as well. But prayer is probably the most important topic ever for us. And so I'm actually saying that with such sincerity and seriousness and soberness that I want you to commit to actually coming every week if you can. Why? It's not because I need to see attendance, but simply because I think this is the most important thing we could ever talk about. Without prayer, we have nothing in our faith. Why? Because it's about communication and communion with the Creator. It's about communication and communion with the Creator. Now, for many of us, maybe it's very easy to pray because you were brought up to pray and it's no big deal and you just do it all the time. But for many of us, it's actually very difficult to pray because it combines the spiritual and the physical. And that can actually be challenging because the spiritual is things that we can't see. Can you describe the spiritual for me? It's very hard to describe what is spiritual. What is it? This is why Jesus even had to speak in parables. And he would say, the kingdom of God is like a man who had two sons. Or the kingdom of God is like a farmer who sowed seed. And he would tell these stories. And the reason why he told these stories is so that we as humans could understand what the heck he was talking about. Because he was trying to describe something we can't see. He's trying to describe something that we can't measure with a measuring stick. But it can also be challenging because it's a physical thing. Now you would think, well, prayer being physical, is that should be easy for us because we're in our bodies. Right, but you learn certain behaviors and habits, and some people will kneel on their knees and then they'll put their hands together like this and then they'll pray and then they'll beg God for something. Looks kind of weird, doesn't it? In what other situation do you do this except asking forgiveness from your wife, right? Right? It's amazing when you're physically doing things, you're like, I feel weird right now. And in fact, if you speak to someone in public and go, hey, like sometimes someone will be telling me, you know, some issue they're going through. And I'm like, well, let's just pray about it right now. But there's tons of people around. They'll do this. Oh, okay. Right? And they're trying to put their body into a praying position, right? So they're going into a weird moment right there. Oh no, let me do it behind closed doors. Can we go behind the TV and pray so no one's looking at me? No, I get it that sometimes the way that we physically pray can be challenging or difficult, and I just feel odd and I feel weird. But the number one question I could ever ask you is this. Tell me about your prayer life. How do you spend time with God? It's probably one of the best and most telling questions that I can ever ask another person. In fact, usually when I do ask that person, 9 times out of 10, most people go, well, I probably don't do enough. I don't know if they're just being over humble or if they're really being honest, you know what, well, I really don't do enough. Well, if you don't do enough, what do you expect to get from God? What do we expect to be able to receive from God? Do you know that in marriages, the breakdown of marriages, the number one reason why marriages break down is because of communication. Communication has broken itself. In fact, the number one reason why any relationship breaks down is because there's a breakdown of communication. This is the same with your spouse, with your family, with your workmates, with your children, with even your God. That when there's a breakdown of communication with God, that's when we know we're having problems. There are, in fact, there's probably two ways that manifests in its worst manner of breakdown of communication. The number one way is just silence, right? And it's good to have silence in our life. But when you go silent in your heart with your spouse, you're going towards a bad end. When you stop talking, when you stop sharing your heart, when you stop saying how much you love the other person, when you stop communicating and silence sets in, that's when you know you're headed to a bad end. The other bad way of that is that the other end of the spectrum is when a person only talks at another person. I'll sometimes see this even in parenting, where maybe a parent will actually only instruct their child, no, don't do it this way, do it that way. You didn't do it well enough. No, this is what you, but they don't actually take the time to sit down and go, tell me what you're feeling. Tell me what you're thinking. They're not actually listening to the child. And what I find is eventually that child grows up and grows away from their parent. Doesn't want to hang out with their parent. Why? Because there isn't that intimacy in the relationship. They've only been instructed their whole life. They've only been told off or told what to do. The healthy way of having a relationship is quite simply this. It is to talk and to listen. It's to talk and to listen. How then should we talk and listen with God? Well, thank God for Jesus who told us how we can do it. And we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. I'm going to read from verse 5 here, and it says this. And when you pray, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. There's nothing else they're going to get. Now, as Jesus is describing the position of prayer to his disciples, he's going to give us two do nots. Here's the first do not. Do not pray pretentiously. Do not pray for public image. Do not pray in such a way that it's all on the outside, but nothing's happening on the inside. It's like a bad marriage. It looks good on the outside, but it's actually silent on the inside. It's rotten on the inside. It's amazing how sometimes you can see some movie stars, Hollywood movie stars, and they're on the red carpet and they're fawning over each other as a couple and they love each other so much and they look beautiful on the outside. And then a month later, an expose comes forth and suddenly we've decided to get divorced. Oh, what happened? What happened? Is there something bad happened? Behind closed doors, there wasn't a good marriage. But in the public eye, before the camera, there was something wonderful. The fact is, I think we all have the challenge of suffering from that. That we can have our marriages and our relationships in such a way that I'm well put together, I'm well dressed together, I'm well dressed, I've had a shower, I'm looking good, Peter's doing wonderful, but actually, we just had a screaming match with each other before we came to church. Anyone want to identify with that? Any amens? No amens in this house today. This is God saying this. He's saying, don't do that. This is when you have the duty of marriage, but no delight of marriage. The love has gone. After the love has gone, what used to be right is now wrong, is what Earth, Wind, and Fire said, right? After the love is gone, it's gone. And then when it's gone, it leads you to this place. It starts to exhaust you. Right? There's only so much you can do with putting on an exterior before you're just exhausted with this marriage. You're exhausted with this relationship. You're exhausted with your family. You're exhausted with your job, but you're always putting on a good face, but now you're exhausted. This is why you'll find people that maybe been married for 30 or 40 years and suddenly they get divorced and you're like, what happened? You were married all this time. It's because they didn't give up. They gave out. I just got nothing left. I'm telling you, the amount of people I've seen who've actually gone through that, they get so exhausted, they would rather that everybody knew how bad it was. I'm so exhausted with trying to hide this whole thing. Now, what Jesus does is he moves on. Now, we've gone from verse 5 and it goes to verse 6, but we're actually going to skip to verse 7 because there's like a sandwich of do nots, and we're going to get the second do not. It says this, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. If the first do not was about exhausting yourself, the second do not is about exhausting someone else. I am exhausted with your babbling. Last year, I had the privilege of picking my daughter up from school and some of my nieces. And they got in the car, and I've never had so much babbling in all my life. The talk was at another level. It was turned up to number 11. I've never been at that place before. In fact, one of them, what they did is they had a drawing pad and they had a pen. And I had a pen, and they're like, oh, there's a pen. Well, I think I'll take the pink pen. They're speaking everything out, right? I'll take the lid off. I'll put that lid right there. Drawing. Make sure I stay in the lines. Oh, drop the lid. Where is that lid? The lid is somewhere. I think it's under here. Well, I can't see it. Where has that lid gone? The lid. Where? Has anyone seen the lid? Where's the lid? Oh, I found the lid. I'll just put it back on. And she spoke every thought that was in her mind. My brain can't cope with that. I couldn't take it anymore. I am exhausted. Now, with a child, that's kind of cute, right? But if you do that as an adult, not cute. Imagine, have you ever been married or been in a relationship with someone or even just had a friendship with someone? You're like, could you just shut your cake hole, put some cake in it, and let's bring this down a notch. Too many words going on. Now, here's the thing. If you have a relationship like that, you're basically dealing with an adult who's acting like a child, who is insecure and is constantly babbling, asking, "One, I need this, I want that, I need this, I need this." And Jesus is saying this, don't treat your father this way. Your father already knows what you need. You're acting like an insecure, worried, fearsome child, but you're 30 years old. It's not cute anymore. We, if we're going to have a normal relationship with the Father and pray with Him in the Son through the power of the Spirit, we have to know how to speak and how to listen. It has to be a two-way street. So let's go back to verse number 6. Jesus tells us the right way to actually pray. And He says this, but when you pray, notice that word, when. He didn't say if you pray, if you'd like to pray, maybe when you've got some time, if you're going to pray. He goes, no, when you pray. That means He's expecting us as disciples to be praying. He says, when you pray, go into your room. What is your room? What is your room? Where's your prayer room in your life? And maybe it's got four walls. Maybe it's the doghouse, who knows? Maybe it's in your actual house, but where is your room? Your room could be your car. It could be your commute to work. It could be your shower. It could be your den. It could be on your walk, your exercise routine. It could literally be in a jail cell. It literally could be on your sick bed. The amount of times I've actually been sick or my back was thrown out and I've been stuck in bed and God spoke to me more clearly in that bed than anywhere any other time. Why? Because He created a room for me. Don't wait until God forces you to have a room. Choose the room yourself. Find a room, find your place, and make that your place to be with the Father. He says, when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. We already talked about that, unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He says, close the door. What door do you have to close? Well, oftentimes there are physical doors, right? You have to close the door of your smartphone. Maybe you shouldn't have your smartphone with you when you're praying, because it's going to ding, and it's going to dong, and it's going to vibrate, and it's going to go blah, 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 and you go, oh, let me see who's trying to contact me. And God is like, again? It's a bit like what my wife feels when I'm on my phone when we're out for dinner, right? Any wives identify with that? Get off your phone. I'm right here in front of you. Maybe you need to close the doors. Maybe you need to close the door of your children, right? Take your children, put them in bed, close the door, then pray, right? Distractions, there's lots of physical distractions, but there's also a lot of mental distractions. Distractions like, I need to get this done, I need to get that done. Oh, I should think about this. You need to train your mind to stop being distracted. Jesus said, close the door. All right, that's the right way, the right way to position yourself to pray. But Jesus told us also what to pray. So we're going to continue on in Matthew chapter 9. Here we go. And it says this. This is the Lord's Prayer, otherwise known as the Disciples' Prayer. So let's all say this out loud together. Ready? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, some of your translations will say, and thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Different translations have that part. Some parts don't. Don't worry about it. If you want to say it, you say it. But here are the four parts of prayer. The four parts that I want you to learn about prayer that are super, super important. In fact, I got this idea from a really good book from Pete Gregg about how to pray. Very, very simple. The four parts of prayer. The first one is this. Pause. Pause. Stop. settle yourself. Pause. Stop. Settle yourself. It's important to train yourself that if you're really going to pray and have a relationship with someone, you have to focus on them. Focus on the moment. You want your marriage to be better. Focus on the moment. Be with them. Be in the moment. Be present. Pause. You can't get any more clear than that. Pause your life and pause yourself. Pause yourself physically. But pause your life in the sense of take the moment to be with God and elevate it so that you validate it. What do I mean by that? The things that get our attention often get scheduled. They often get forced into our mind. We put it on our calendar. Take the kids to the doctor. Go to the grocery store. Do this list of stuff. Make sure I pay my bills on this day. All the things that are really important to us, they get elevated and validated and scheduled in our life. But most of us don't actually schedule any moment during the day with God. Some of us do. Some of us don't. But what if you did? What if you decided to elevate and validate your time with God in such a way that you said at 9 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever time you've got, that's when I'm spending time with God. Nobody else is getting it. Oh, but no, I've got another job to do. Oh, I've got this thing. I've got sales call. I've got this or the children, whatever it is. And what we do is we trade out our time with God for something else. That's notching it down on your list of validation. To pause. It's not just to pause yourself physically. It's to pause your entire life. Everything gets navigated towards that time with God. The second thing in PRA, because this is going to be an acronym, is rejoice. Rejoice. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He's your dad. Here's your father. That should cause you joy. I should be an orphan. I should be rejected. Thank you, God, for being my dad. Thank you for caring about me. Thank you for wanting to listen to me. Thank him, thank him, thank him. Hallowed be your name. That's holy be your name. That is sacred be your name. I'm rejoicing in how good you are. Years ago, I was at home and I woke up in the middle of the night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And when I'm up, I'm just up. Bing, I'm awake. There I am. And I thought, I'll just pray. And I was praying. And I felt like God said, list everything that you have in this house. I'm like, well, that's an interesting pastime because I got nothing to do at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I took this, I took a piece of paper, I started writing down and listing all the things that I owned. And I think we had something like 42 candles or something and 1,000 pillows and 50 frames, right? And I'm like, I didn't realize we had that many picture frames. And when I started to list all the things that we owned, I'm like, God is being good to me. How many times do you only see the troubles and the problems that you have, but you don't actually see the good things that God has given you? We don't even have any gratitude for the frame that's hanging on the wall anymore. Right, I know it seems a simple, should I be that grateful? Yes, if you have an attitude of gratitude, I will guarantee satisfaction or your tithe money back. It will change your life. This attitude of gratitude will change your life. This positioning of rejoicing in your Father and how good he has been, it will be life-changing to you. The third one is this, and it's to ask. To ask. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's a whole lot of asking. He says, give us, forgive us, lead us, and deliver us. It's important for us to understand that the Father is interested in what you want, in what you need, and even what you desire. And it doesn't mean you're just giving him a Christmas list all the time, but you're actually sharing your heart. There are many things I believe I've been given in life simply because I asked God for it. 11 times in the New Testament, it says, ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. 11 times it's saying that. The Father wants to know what is in your heart. Now, you can give them your Christmas list. You can give them all, I really want this. I want a Ferrari. I want a Lamborghini. I want a blah. Listen, give us this day our daily bread, and it doesn't mean you're going to get the Nutella to go with it, right? He will give you the things that you need, but it doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want or desire. Why is that an important thing? Because it leads us to the last one, which is this, yield. It's not about my will, but your will be done is what Jesus said before he went to the cross. When you yield your life, you're giving yourself over to the plan of God. But yielding is something just a little bit more. It's about listening. You see, we don't need to be insecure children who are babbling to our Father, I need this and I need that and I got this problem, I got that problem. Just yield. How did we do that? It's great that you would have your room of prayer and your prayer time and all that type of thing. But imagine if we elevated our prayer to the next level, which is to yield in every moment of our lives. That in any moment when you're going through a conflict or a difficulty, you would literally ask God, what do you want me to do with this? Holy Spirit, what are you saying right now? Is there something I should hear? If you yield yourself to that moment, you literally could be in the middle of a crisis, in the middle of a torture, in the middle of a conflict, in the middle of something that is difficult for you to deal with, and you go, but Father, what do you want to do? Or maybe you'll be in the middle of dinner, or you'll be in the middle of a very good time, or you may be in the middle of a very joyful time, and you say, Father, what do you want me to hear? Imagine if we had that relationship where the Father is constantly speaking to us through the Holy Spirit, and you're in this constant communion and communication with him. I believe your life will change. So right now, I want us to practice this prayer. And I'm going to tell you to close your eyes only because it's the best way to try and focus ourselves. But if you want to keep your eyes open, I don't care. You can do as you wish. I like sometimes praying with my eyes open. It's best, especially when I'm walking. So let's pray right now. Let's pause. Let's take some time to rejoice. If you want to say it quietly in your own heart, you can. If you want to say it loud and sound like a crazy person, that's awesome, because I'm going to do it. I love speaking out loud. And I'm just going to personally start thanking God for what he has given me. Father, I want to thank you for every one of those picture frames you made me count. I thank you, Father, for my children, that they are blessed and healthy. I thank you for my marriage. I thank you for my family, my extended family. I thank you for my church. I thank you that you let me get up every day. You let me breathe once again. You're a good father. I thank you for even the strength that you have put into the marriages around me. I thank you for people that encourage me. I thank you for the prayers that are prayed for me. I just want to say I rejoice in you. I'm just grateful for what you have given me. I'm grateful, Father, that I get to do this every day. Just rejoice. Just thank him for all the good things. Bring to mind the wonderful things he has given you. Now I want you to ask. Let's ask the Father for the things that you need. Father, you've told us to build a new church and to plant churches, but I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to make this happen. But for every vision you've given, you said you would give provision, so we're asking for that provision. I'm asking for that supernatural power. Lord, for the people who are sick in our church, I'm praying that you would give them healing. Heal their bodies, heal their minds. Heal their souls. Lord, for every person who doesn't know how to pay their bills and they're struggling financially, I'm asking for supernatural wealth to come into their lives. I'm also asking for peace, that when they don't see wealth come into their lives, they still know how to trust you. I'm asking for that for myself, Father. Help me, God, to trust you in every challenge and trial I come across. I'm asking for this, Father. And the last thing I want you to do is to yield. I just want you to ask Jesus, what do you want me to hear? What would you say to me right now?